SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's Game Time Decisions with you on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, back in action on a Thursday night as we are live for the next 2 hours going through tonight's slate and still some of the fallout from Super Bowl 58 because tonight is the first time I've seen you. Well, we did the post game, but you get the deal. Since the Chiefs became back-to-back defending champs, got a great crew joining us tonight. Coach James Young will be here. Joe Madden helping us with a huge hockey slate. Brady Cannon live in the next 10 minutes to react to the Genesis Invitational's round number one. Cantlay off to a great start, plus the latest on Tiger Woods. Let's get to some breaking news, though, that we had today in the National Football League around Seattle Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith. The Seahawks allowing his contract to become fully guaranteed, which will keep Geno in Seattle for the time being. I think the reporting here suggests that Seattle makes this move not necessarily because they love Geno, not because they're dead set on Geno being their quarterback even next season, because they love the price. They feel for a starting level quarterback, which Geno still is, right? Geno is not a Super Bowl level quarterback, but he's a starting level quarterback. And with that, the Seahawks can either run out Geno Smith and be competent in the first year of McDonald, or the Ravens defensive coordinator who came over, or they could probably trade Geno Smith, get a decent haul back, and buoy their roster that way. The Seahawks have a lot of options this upcoming season. This was the first, and they've decided to keep Geno in town for the time being. We're going to stick with football as we open up today's show here on a Thursday night. You'll see the odds to win Super Bowl 59 with the two teams that played in the game right there at the top. Firstly, let's bring in the radio audience. Excited to have you here at Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio. I'm Kevin Walsh with you on Game Time Decisions. In case you haven't been told this yet, this actually has seen a bit of movement. The look-ahead gap was 450 on the Niners and 750 on KC. So they brought these teams together now quite a bit. And that obviously makes a bit of a difference there. But the Niners still being booked as the favorite at 5-1. KC plus 650. You go 9-1 Ravens. And look at this, 12-1 Detroit and Buffalo rounding out that top five. What I think we're going to get into tomorrow on our show, a little future Friday, we're going to tear off the updated Super Bowl odds and see what the takeaway are. I'll just say, this is going to be something that a lot of people are going to find impossible to justify. You can talk about the difficulty of the conference. You can talk about how that game should have played out, which I think it should have played out differently, should have, would have, could have. It doesn't matter. The idea that the back-to-back champs who always play in this game now aren't booked as the favorites is basically begging for Kansas City money. That is something we can talk to with Dave Sharapan about, though, who will be joining us here in about an hour and a half on our show. Do keep eyes on the Eagles, who are right there at the top. Much further down, though, eighth overall to win Super Bowl 59. We'll dive into those odds a little bit. We'll also dive into the NBA's MVP market. Tonight, we have a three-game slate in the association, which is our final bit of action until we hit the All-Star game. We're going to have All-Star weekend. We'll talk about that plenty tomorrow. But there's been movement here. What do we know? We know that Joel Embiid is out. Definitively, games too many missed. It's unfortunate. But again, the amount of time that he's going to miss, he was always going to drop out of this race as is. It has left Nikola Jokic at minus 160. But Jokic is not having the caliber of season that I think lines up with his prior MVPs. At least that's how it feels. So does that leave him vulnerable? Well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and this incredible Thunder team, who've got a great record to boot, are going to be right in the mix. We saw a straw poll from ESPN come out. It can be predictive, and we know it moves markets. Jokic ended up winning it. SGA did come in second. Giannis, Luka, Kawhi in the mix a little bit. You see these guys there. Jalen Brunson, I'll just say this. go through and look right now and you figure out the argument that Brunson has over Donovan Mitchell outside of playing in New York. I mean, Donovan's playing better ball, definitively. Every advanced metric, scoring more per game, basically same amount of assists per game, rebounds, more efficient from the field, better record. And don't tell me, oh, well, he's on a much better team. That's nonsense. That team's been injured all year long. Mobley, Garland, Jared Allen have all missed time. Donovan Mitchell clearly should be ahead of Jalen Brunson in this race, but Brunson plays in New York. That's what it is. And people have been saying, do you think Brunson's MVP? No. By the way, this 85-1, it's a lot of movement for Brunson. He's not going to win the award. So it is what it is. Maybe he finishes top five. Time will tell. This list of names, though, we will see. Well, I was going to say, pardon me. I was going to say we would see all of them at All-Star Weekend. I feel uncertain, though, if everybody's going to be fully healthy by the time we get there. Kawhi Leonard did not play in the Clippers last game before the All-Star break. A win that the Clips did have last night, though, in Golden State. That team on tonight's slate. Let's look at the three games that we have for everybody tonight here in the NBA. The Warriors and the Jazz with a makeup spot, which is beefing up this slate. Thank goodness. I don't know. The NBA, it's just, I don't know, nobody cares about the NBA scheduling process, but what are we doing? It's like the final, doesn't this looks like let's just go home and get this over with, right? These type of games here. But we got a short number, both teams on the back-to-back. Again, it is a makeup game. It is what it is. Milwaukee laying a ton to this ravaged Memphis team, but the Doc Rivers stuff has been worse than expected. The idea was Doc comes in, wins games, and then lets everybody down in the playoffs. He's just letting everybody down right off of the gate. Giannis questionable for this game, so it's something we have to keep our eyes on. Minnesota just beat up on Portland. Ant Edwards had a big game. We'll see if he can do that again. Tiger Woods made the people some money this morning. There was a FanDuel boost out there from minus 280 to plus 100. Three plus birdies in his round one. Secured that through the first six holes. Five total birdies for Tiger. Shot one over par at the Genesis Invitational. So, look, Tiger's going to be right in the mix there. Potential to make that cut. And what we know is whether or not you believe Tiger Woods can win this, whether or not you are interested in betting on Tiger, most are. Tiger's always heavily bet on in any event that he plays. First time back in a while wearing the new Sunday Red logo as well. Let's get a quick pick on the board. We're going to go through our full card throughout this hour, at the top of hour two as well. But we're going to the college ranks here and going to the Purdue backcourt. Fletcher Lawyer, over 1.5 made threes. This is a spot where you try and take advantage of what the market is giving you. One book had this priced at minus 128. Another priced it at plus 165. That type of gap is basically enough for me to get involved here. But also, for a Lawyer, coming off of a game where he missed this, shot it poorly at home, he makes nearly two per game at home, shooting better than 43%. I think the volume will be there for Fletcher Lawyer. And he's one of two college basketball player props that I'll be on tonight. I've got two other sides on the college game that I'm excited to get into. We'll keep breaking it down. It's Game Time Decisions on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here. It's Game Time Decisions. I'm now joined by Brady Cannon, who's going to help us break down the Genesis Invitational. Brady, appreciate you taking some time with us on a Thursday night.
Hey, good to be back with you, Kevin. And yeah, this is a fantastic tournament. One of my favorite tournaments outside of the majors, year in and year out. I love this golf course. I dream about maybe getting to play this golf course one day. But it's just a fantastic tournament year in and year out because the course is difficult. You have a tremendous field, and nothing has changed this year. Maybe this is not necessarily a change, but it's the first time in a while that we've seen Tiger Woods. And, of course, that brings everything to another level.
Yeah, and let's start there because and you know it well, right, Brady? It doesn't matter whether you think he can win it or not. This guy's going to get more outright bets than anybody else if he's in the field. He did help out some people with some odds boosts, racking up a couple of birdies here through the opening six holes. Finished ultimately, though, one over in this opening round. He's T53. What have you made of Tiger's first round back?
Yeah, Kevin, you're exactly right. People love to bet on Tiger no matter what. And I wrote an article earlier in the week. He was heavy in every market, just about every market. He was, you know, the most highest percentage ticket count in the outright market. As far as top 10s, top 5, top 20s, they were betting him there. They were betting him to have a bogey-free round, betting on him to make an eagle. They were betting him every which way they could. And you know what? You're right. He made some people some money there, having three birdies in the first six holes, five birdies in total on his round, but six bogeys. And he was okay off the tee. He was really good off the tee. He gained strokes off the tee and was 26th in the field with the driver in the hand. But he lost strokes on approach, 55th. Out of 70 guys in the field, was Tiger on approach. He lost strokes around the green. He was ranked 49th out of 70, and he lost strokes putting, 53rd out of 70. Out of 70 players in this field, again, 67th in scrambling. He was only able to get up and down from around the green 2 out of 8 times, and then he was 42nd in greens in regulation, only hit 10 out of 18 greens in regulation. Now, the good news is he's not very wayward with the driver. He's been good with the driver. If he can just hit some greens in regulation and start holing a few putts, he could turn this thing around. To have these statistics and still be only one over par probably wasn't too bad a day for Tiger.
Yeah, look, it's an incredible breakdown there. I think for people, the question is, make miss cut. I don't at the moment see anyone offering live odds, probably because I think some guys are still out there, including, you know, a guy like Scottie Scheffler right now, which is going to help set that bar. But it's something for us to keep our eye on. And as much as we could talk Tiger only here, Brady, I want to go to the top of the leaderboard because it's a game. It's a name people are very familiar with. And that is Patrick Cantlay, 7 under and the live tournament favorite at plus 360. Only other golfer that is underneath 11-1 right now, just using the FanDuel market, is the guy I just mentioned. That would be Scottie Scheffler at plus 500.
Yeah, and Scheffler just recently made a bogey, too. He was one shot better here before we came on. But Scottie, you know, has a few holes left to play. I think he's through about 13 now. So he's still got about 4 holes left to play or so. And that's why his odds are still low. But Cantlay with just a magical round. And Cantlay went to school up the street at UCLA. So he's a California kid. He knows this type of turf, the Poana Greens, the Kikuyu Fairways. He's very familiar with this golf course. He's done well here before. He was second in this field after one round. Again, they're not quite finished yet, but as of now, he is second in this field for strokes gained putting. So he was really hot with the flat stick today. He gained nearly 4 strokes on the field with the putter. Now, what's tough about that, Kevin, is the putter is very volatile. You can be really good off the tee. You can be really good with your irons. You can be really good around the greens, but the putter can go hot and cold in a minute. So it's very possible that that putter could go cold tomorrow and all of a sudden this guy's, you know, off the pace a few shots. So I wouldn't necessarily run to the window because this guy is out in front early, because a lot of it was reliant on that putter. And that's a part of the game that can go the other direction in a hurry. And same being said, you can putt really lousy one day and putt really well the next. You know, you can't necessarily just base your entire wager on a guy's good or bad putting, because it is a very volatile skill set. I also wanted to mention to you, Kevin, and this is really something to take note of for people that are thinking of making in-game bets here before the cut on Friday afternoon. There's only 70 players in this field, as I mentioned. The cut will be the top 50 and ties, and anybody that is within 10 shots of the lead. That's going to be almost the entire field making the cut. Right now, there are only 2 guys in this field out of 70 that aren't within 10 shots of the lead. So, you know, anybody you're betting to miss the cut, Kevin, you're probably looking at maybe 6-8 guys at the most that miss this cut, and it might be less. So you're really trying to find a needle in a haystack making that play.
Interesting. But it keeps the pressure on when you have that many guys playing weekend golf. Tell me, Brady, who else is catching your attention with most of everybody finishing up their opening round of play?
I did make an in-game bet today, Kevin, on Will Zalatoris. And I liked Zalator. I like Zalatoris every week, but he's coming off of an injury. When he returned to action in December, as did Tiger, the Zalatoris had actually been out of action longer than Tiger had. Now Zalatoris has returned to the tour. He's played a few times, and I didn't quite know if he was healthy yet, so I did not play him pre-tournament. He came out guns a-blazing, and I think he was about 6-under on the front nine. 6-under through 8 holes is when I made the play on him and got him at 12-1. Now, he's a little higher now. He's at 14-1, I believe, because he finally cooled off. But if he continues to go at this pace, this guy's going to be single-digit odds here pretty soon. He was 13th in strokes gained off the tee, 25th on approach, 6th in greens in regulation, and he gained strokes with the putter, and he gained strokes around the green. He had a very good all-around game going today. And most importantly, Kevin, he looks healthy to me. So I think Willie Z is someone you can look at. Jordan Spieth, I thought, played very, very well today. All around, he was very good. The only place that he lost strokes was off the tee, and just barely lost like a tenth of a stroke off the tee. So if Spieth can get it together off the tee, he's going to be a player here too. And another guy to look out for, I believe, is Ludvig Åberg, the young second-year player on tour, nearly a rookie. I don't know if he's technically a rookie. Last year, I guess, was technically his rookie year. But the young Swede, his, you know, now top 15 in the world rankings. He is one heck of a player. This is his first time ever playing Riviera, but you can still find him at about 25-1, and he's only about 4 shots back right now.
Does Åberg have that first win yet, Brady?
No, he may have won once last season. I can't recall for sure, Kevin. It feels like he
because
did win once last season.
On.
Oh, he's been
RSM
red hot.
Classic.
There's no doubt about it. Oh, he won the RSM
event in November.
There you go.
But
I thought he had
that
won.
That is a name. Yeah, that's a name I heard a lot about down the stretch last year. And, I mean, I didn't realize he had climbed all the way up into the top 15. But, you know, with golf, right, it's ebbs and flows, and there's new waves. And, you know, he looks like one of the next new wave guys. And, man, it just to see him kind of capitalize on that. Brady, we appreciate it. We'll potentially have to check in again. It's going to be a busy week at the Genesis.
Yeah, enjoy it, man. It ought to be a good one. All the best are here. Will be fun.
No doubt. All right, that is Brady Cannon helping us break it down. Keeping eyes on not just Tiger Woods, but the entire field. Helping us get set for a huge NHL slate. Joe Maddon on Game Time Decisions is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh, Joe Maddon, breaking down the NHL slate. Joe will really be breaking it down. Maybe I'll find a sizzle play or two. But, Joe, how are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Kevin. Such a loaded slate in the NHL today. I can't wait to get into these games.
All right, let's start in Boston. The Bruins are going to host the Kraken. They're a minus 190-ish favorite to win this game. Total on the lower side of things, though, at 5.5. What are you looking for here with Boston and Seattle?
Yeah, Boston, absolutely the way that I want to go with my money here. But you look at that line, and it's pretty juicy. This team absolutely needs to get back on track. They've got the Florida Panthers chasing them here in the Atlantic, so they can't afford to lose this game. What I'm going to do with it, we know David Pastrnak comes out so phenomenally strong. He's their number one go-to guy for all of the points that he's been able to accumulate. I'm going to take him for the anytime goal and parlay that with the Boston Bruins to win. You're getting great plus money combining the two together. Now, you can take Pastrnak just for that anytime goal. That's a minus 105, but I love this parlay here because I do think the Bruins are the right side of this game, and that's coming in at plus 168, Kevin.
All right, listen, I mean, Pasta, I know, has been having himself a great season for Boston, so a little same-game parlay action there It lines up nicely. What about this Buffalo Sabres team here? A home dog against the Florida Panthers. Where do you see some value in this game?
Okay, I've got to look at this one, and I was a little worried jumping on the full game total because we know the Florida Panthers can absolutely roll hot and put up enough goals themselves to push this one to the over. Now, this team is so strong defensively, I really do think they're going to limit the Sabres' ability to find the back of Stolarz's net. So I'm going to take the Buffalo Sabres team total. You take it under 2.5. That's coming in at +114. Of course, I'm always looking for that plus money out there, and I know this team is up that big win versus the LA Kings 7-0, getting that shutout, putting up a ton of goals. And the Florida Panthers on the second night of a back-to-back. Don't worry about the Florida Panthers on the second night of a back-to-back. This defense is going to come out phenomenally strong. And we saw the slow start out of them in the last game, last night versus the Penguins. They are doing that on purpose. We heard the press conferences after the game saying we're looking to wear out our opponent, get those hard hits in before we start scoring. So I do think the Florida Panthers will play a really strong game here versus the Buffalo Sabres and limit their ability to find the back of the net, Kevin.
All right, there you go. Florida laying a number in Buffalo, but with good reason. That full game total checks in right now at 6.5. So does the game in Toronto where the Maple Leafs are hosting the Philadelphia Flyers. The 6.5 is pointing towards the under, Joe. Is that the direction that you're looking as well?
Yeah, I've got to look at the under in this one. We look at the Philadelphia Flyers and their ability to really limit their opponents, especially on the road. In the last 5 road games, Kevin, it's unbelievable. They're only allowing an average of 1.78 goals per game. Now, Erzman, he had a little bit of hiccups when he became the number one goalie here. He was solid before that, so I think it was a little bit mental. But I do think he's back on track. And Samsonov, ever since being put down to the AHL to clear his mind a little bit, and coming back has been solid. Now, the Philadelphia Flyers so strong on that kill. They should be able to limit Toronto if they do end up in the box, but they have to really limit their time in that penalty box because the Toronto Maple Leafs will be able to bring that heat here. Their power play is converting at a nice number, 26.2%. So the Flyers need to play a clean game, and this one will stay under that total of 6.5, I think, Kevin.
That money line on Toronto looks maybe a bit shorter than I would have expected at -156. I know that's usually out of the range for people, but definitely something to keep eyes on there. What about the Ducks, Anaheim here? I know this is an offense, Joe, that you don't always trust. They go to Ottawa, and they're a considerable underdog in this game. How do you feel?
Yeah, they're just coming off a shutout versus the Montreal Canadiens. They couldn't put any goals on Montreal, allowed Montreal to come out and put 5. I can't trust this team offensively to be able to find the back of Corpusello's net. Now, Corpusello for the Ottawa Senators hasn't been the season that I've wanted to see out of him, but I do think he can have a fantastic game here. Ottawa has been rolling hot, so I like their ability, their defense to come out nice and strong. And again, for the Ducks, for them to not light the lamp tonight, I'm looking for their team total under 2.5. We look at the last couple of games between these two. They've gone under in the last 3 meetings, this number of 2.5. And in the last 10, they haven't gone over this in more than 4 of those games. So 6 of the 10 have stayed under this number. I just don't trust this team. And I think they're hitting an Ottawa team that's rolling hot at the moment, and they're going to look to come out and really limit the Ducks in this game.
Now, I am curious, with a team like Ottawa, though, who has a losing record on the season, Joe, and I know you, and maybe that's why you're isolating it towards a team total, but do you ever get worried? I know, obviously, the Ducks significantly worse, but do you worry about a big number like this with what is still overall a losing group like Ottawa?
I do. Yeah, I start to look at that total and I worry about it because we wonder how many goals the Ottawa Senators are going to be able to put up. They've had their struggles and they've had their struggles offensively, but I think in this matchup with them rolling hot, this is kind of a confidence thing for the Ottawa Senators as well. I actually thought at one point they were going to be able to make the playoffs. I did think this team would be able to push deep. They've got all the talent on this team, and they just show those struggles. I'd look at them in the first period here. I think they come out hot in the first period, but that's why I'm staying off the full game, because they've shown their inconsistencies out there, Kevin.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Let's take a stop here at the biggest game on the board, which is Tampa Bay and Colorado. It's not often, Joe, we see the Avs priced as a dog, but a trip to Tampa Bay is usually enough to make that so. It's a big-time total at 6.5. How did you start your breakdown for this game?
I started looking at this, and right away, the 6.5, way too highly juiced. You're laying minus like 148 to the over, so you'd have to fire that one up to a 7 and then risk getting the push. I think this team, these two teams can start off hot straight out of the gate. I'm going to look at both teams to score in the first period. I think it's a 2-1 first period. I really do think the Lightning will be up after the first period, but both teams to score in the first period looks like the safer way to go at plus 138. We know the Avs are better than what they have been playing like as of late, but this is the last game of a road trip, and we have here the Tampa Bay Lightning, their first game home off a 4-game road trip. So lots of situations where I like to fade both of these teams, but we know one thing, and that is that both of these teams are able to find the back of the net. It's the defenses that let them down in certain situations. Now, the Lightning will be able to score on Colorado. They have a backup goalie in there. And again, this defense on the road, just something I haven't been trusting. And then looking at Andre Vasilevsky, I think if he gets hit early, we might see him tighten up in this game. But both of these teams, so powerful offensively, Kevin. I can't see this not being a 2-1 or a 1-1 first period. So I love the both teams to score and the plus money we're getting on it.
I was a little interested in potentially a Nate MacKinnon anytime goal scorer at plus 100. He's not scored in 4 straight games, which is the longest run of his season going back all the way towards November. Were there any player props you were considering in this big game, Joe?
Yeah, so many that you can start looking at here. I would also look for the Colorado Avalanche at Cale Makar. Cale Makar, an offensive defenseman, you're getting so much more value than looking at, say, Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon coming in at plus 100, I believe. Cale Makar coming in at plus 330. I like looking at those players that we're getting more value. Stamkos here for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know his number was nice. You're getting great. I think it was about plus 200, plus 220 for the anytime goal. Or Hagel here for the Lightning. I think both of those players have every ability to find the back of the net. This game being such a high scoring game, I do think this is exactly where you want to hit those player props. Look at those points. Most of these players, so you're going to have to look at 2+ point. Like if you look at Braden Point, you're going to have to take him 2+ points. It's hard to do in these games, but it's not out of the realm of being able to be done.
All right, all stuff that we will be keeping our eyes on. Maybe a little more under the radar is this game in Jersey tonight, not too far from myself, which is the Devils and the Kings. Basically a pick'em line here. Joe, what advantages are you seeing?
This is going to be really interesting because we have the Kings off their worst loss since back in the 2022 season when the Boston Bruins did exactly the same as the Buffalo Sabres did to this Kings team, winning 7-0. So you know you're going to get more out of the Kings, but how much more? This team has been struggling so much defensively, and we know that was really the MO of this team before. So looking here against the New Jersey Devils, hard team to really stop offensively. I do think the Devils are able to find the back of the net here of David Rich coming in for the LA Kings and Nico Daws for the Devils. I'm going to look at that first period to go over 1.5 goals. That's coming in at minus 138. I do think both of these teams can have the ability to score in that first period. But instead of taking both teams to score where you're going to get more value, I could see it also going 2 goals for one of these teams. So I love the over 1.5. I know you're going to have to lay some juice here, but I do think it's worth it. And I think Jack Hughes comes out and has a phenomenal game. He scored in the last 2 games since he's been back, and he just keeps rolling nice and hot. So I like him. And then Kopitar, another player you can look at here for the LA Kings to score that anytime goal, that plus 260 on him. He's been very strong when playing the Devils.
And then just one more to get to, because Joe is the best. She has actually gotten to all of these games that are prior to 7 o'clock. It's the Rangers and it's the Canadiens. New York is a big favorite at home, Joe.
Yeah, New York a big favorite, coming off a nice win over the Calgary Flames. Now, the New York Rangers have proven they can win in these low-scoring battles, and we have great goaltending here tonight. Montreal putting in Sam Montembeault. We can trust in him to limit the ability of the Rangers to score. The Rangers, I still do think, get the win, but I think you look at this one and just take this under that total. Jonathan Quick coming in tonight for the New York Rangers. I think we got a goaltending battle in this, so under 6.5.
All right, perfect. Guess what? If you want more hockey, we're here to check back in with Joe at 7:10. So make sure you stay locked here on Game Time Decisions. Coach James Young up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to the right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Coach James Young. Jay, why is he starting already? Why are you already starting with theatrics? What's wrong?
I know we don't want to sabotage the show. I'm sorry. But I just get this from the Gallinari signing with the Bucks. And did you hear who it was between the Bucks, the Clippers, the Cavs, and the Bulls? What?
Shout out Chicago. Shout out Chicago. Trying to get in the mix. Hey, Big Eastern Conference play-in push, brother. Listen, they're trying. You and I have a lot of big picture NBA that I'm sure we'll do tomorrow, assuming you can make the time for me, my good friend. Let's start with tonight's games here. Memphis and Milwaukee. The Grizz are catching a ton. We have no idea if Giannis is going to play in this game. So are you going to even bother with this matchup tonight?
I may go with the Bucks in the first half, Kevin. You know, it's one of those things. I kind of look at the Nets game last night. Some of these teams that are one and winner are really competitive, will go for it. And then the teams that are young that aren't good are just playing out the string. Memphis is playing out the string for the rest of the year. So I may look to play the first half, maybe see the Bucks jump out to a big lead. And then I get nervous when Thanasis gets in the game because he's just a hot mess. So I don't want to touch that game with the backdoor cover. So if anything, Milwaukee first half.
All right. I'm very curious to see if Giannis plays tonight. I was going to be on some Bobby Portis props. They all locked because of the Giannis news. I wanted them with Giannis playing. What's going to happen is if Giannis doesn't play, which I now feels likely, all the Portis stuff comes up. I'm going to have to reassess. I'll let you guys know we'll have plenty of time here tonight to do that. Let's talk about what you are going to bet, Coach. And that's Klay Thompson. Golden State on a back-to-back goes to Utah. What do you like?
Oh, I'm going to Klay Thompson again. I went to this a couple of nights ago, over 21.5 points, rebounds, assists. He has been playing a little bit better, Kevin. I think he had the 26 points, if I'm not mistaken, last game. He's being guarded by Jordan Clarkson, who plays no goddamn defense to begin with. And the other thing is this. Now that the trade deadline is passed and he's not gotten moved, Kevin, I think this makes Klay maybe more dangerous, that he can relax and he knows he's going to be there for the rest of the year. And, folks, he's going to be playing for a paycheck. I don't think he goes back to Golden State. He's got to show that he's healthy and puts up good numbers. I like Klay in this matchup, over 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
The Klay stuff is interesting because initially it was, oh, Klay, they could move on from him. Klay doesn't care. Klay wants his money. And now I feel like they didn't move on from him. And Klay's like, yeah, I'll take less money as long as I can stay. That whole situation is going to be really interesting to watch play out. Just finishing out the NBA, Minnesota once again is in Portland. Are you going to play this one?
Yeah, Kevin, you know, when you were and thank goodness you're feeling better. A couple nights ago when I came in with Joe, I took – the over team total, I think it was 111.5. I'm just going to go right to them minus a point to this matchup. Like I said, another team playing for their seeding. They want that one seed. I know Portland's been a little bit better at times. I just think this is a matchup where they can get into them. Do remember that it was 121-109. Earlier, so I do think this game gets going. And if you look at it, if I'm not mistaken, I think Minnesota has won three out of the last four games. A couple of them have been by blowout, including a game earlier this year where they won 116-93. Give me the Timberwolves minus the points tonight.
Listen, I didn't play it. I kind of wanted to take a piece of Ant, she's coming off of scoring 40 on this team. And he kind of, like, if he gives you 30, kind of gives you 30 again, right? It's not 30 every night, but the problem is I just don't know where he's at heading into the All-Star game. It's hard to get up for Portland twice right before the break. That was my only concern, JY. Let's hit the college game here. You're going to get involved with some Big Ten hoops?
Yes, and I'm sorry, folks. This game has tipped off, so just make sure you check the lines live. I'm going to go with Rutgers -3.5 at home. Rutgers is the number two ranked defense in efficiency, playing in the rack is trouble. And ready for this, folks? Rutgers is down 12-5 already. So this could be an opportunity to jump in Rutgers. I'm in New Jersey, so I can't see the live line. If it's close to even, I think Rutgers comes back. They'll slow this game down. Since they've gotten a transfer back that was in all the hot water with Iowa State, they're 3-0. Rack is a tough place to play. I'm not saying Rutgers makes the NCAA tournament. They won't, but they will be dangerous in the Big Ten tournament, and I think they come back and win this game. Give me Rutgers.
And then lastly, JY, for you on the college side of a game that I'm going to play as well. So talk to me. What do you like here with UCLA and Colorado?
Kev, I'm going to go with the under 137.5. A UCLA team that, although it's been disappointing, Kevin, may have the best defense in the Pac-12, I do believe, during conference play. Mick Cronin has slowed the game down and has made it a crawl. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think 7 out of the last 8 games has gone under this number. In order for UCLA to try to win this game, Kev, they got to make it a dogfight. And I think they'll play it at their pace and their tempo. Give me under 137.5 in UCLA versus Colorado.
Yeah, I'm going to just take the points with UCLA. The Buffs have been basically useless against any good defense that they've played. Have you looked so far in the Pac-12? There's about a handful of teams that are inside the top 50 in defensive efficiency, and Colorado is 1-6 against the spread in 7 games played against those teams, with the one cover coming by a half a point. 0-4 straight up and against the spread on the road against those teams. And a few times they've been a dog. So I like the under look there from you, Coach. But I'm going to play UCLA to win that basketball game outright. Took them +1.5. Let me stop quickly and ask you about another West Coast basketball situation. I am personally invested, which is part of the reason I bring it up. But it is something that is going to become a much bigger story the closer we get to conference tournament weekend and when we get to that time of year. So if you look at a lot of the big brackets, you can go to anywhere you want. Sports Grid, we have them here. You can go to Lunardi. It doesn't matter. JY, Gonzaga is still, for a lot of people, on the outside looking in. And they just won at Rupp. KenPom has them as the 20th team overall, but it's the lack of quality wins. I don't know if winning at St. Mary's, which is still on the calendar in the regular season, would be enough to solidify this. But, Coach, we might get to the WCC tournament, and Gonzaga will need to win it to get into this tournament. Otherwise, they're going to miss out entirely.
And if you really think about it, if you look at their non-conference schedule, yes, they have a 10-point loss to Purdue, but you start looking around, 13-point loss to UConn, which, let's be honest, Kevin, that's not bad, considering what UConn has been doing to teams all year. But you're right. It's their quality wins that don't look like quality. Normally, a 13-point win against USC would be a quality win. It's not this year. Usually, a 5-point win versus UCLA would be considered a quality win. It's not this year. So they don't have that quality win. And if you look at the fact of looking at a team like St. Mary's, who's ranked number 18 in the country at 20-6, you start looking down their schedule, and Colorado State by 3 when they were ranked, like, where is their quality win? I mean, I just watched Seton Hall beat Xavier by 20, and they lost to Xavier by 20. So I think it's also the fact that St. Mary's doesn't have the quality wins as well. They need each other, Kevin, out of conference to build each other up. So if one gets knocked out, they both go in. There's a situation, Kevin, that the WCC could be a one-bid league this year. It is a possibility.
Again, I do. If we get to that WCC tournament and Mark Few needs to win it to get in, I refuse to believe he will not win the WCC tournament, but only time will tell. Let me ask you about something else, JY. On the Pac-12 board, USC is a 1.5-point favorite against Utah. A few games ago, Collier came back, and he's starting to play better. I'm on him tonight, 16.5 points. This is one of the most disappointing teams in the country. And I know a lot has gone wrong. And I mean a lot. Collier missed a chunk of time. Obviously, the Bronny stuff, you know, preseason, comes back late. I don't know how much, if any of that, is still affecting him now. But what is going on with USC, they're one of these teams, like, the talent is still there, right? They're never going to get an outright bid. But I'm curious, you know, being a 1.5-point favorite at home against Utah tonight is a start. It's certainly some respect from the odds makers.
It is some respect from the odds makers. And I'm going to say this. If there's a team that is tremendously underachieved, Kevin, that can make a run and go win a conference tournament, it is USC. Well, I mean, let's be honest, because they have the talent with that backcourt of Collier and Ellis, where they, if those two get hot, Kevin, for four games, you know what I know. We saw Georgetown do it a couple of years ago, right? You get hot at the right time with the talent. Now, Georgetown, that was like lightning. I mean, that's the only good thing Patrick Ewing did at Georgetown besides play there. I'm sorry, Patrick. I love you to death. But I just do think that that is a team that can do it. I also think, folks, I don't care if I'm about to say this, Villanova may have started to slowly turn the corner. Now, they just got a 40-point win against Seton Hall. I was there on Sunday, and I looked at someone that I know really close to college basketball and said, they've never looked like this all year. So these teams that are underperforming, that have veteran guys, they can turn it on, Kevin. You just got to be the better team for a four-day stretch. I'm not saying they're going to win at USC, but, Kevin, if they get one and if they get two, I would put a basketball to get all four and win the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, I think, again, it has to start somewhere, though, right? Like, they just got cracked by 30 against Stanford. So it has to start somewhere. I will say it's a hindsight. The Bronny stuff is all very complicated. There are some people who want to have this straight, direct conversation of, how could this kid be a first-round pick? Relax. Okay? What played out in the preseason is hard for us on the outside to know how much, if at all, that is factoring in. And this whole season for USC, JY, I mean, Andy Enfield, I don't even know how you survive this. You are a preseason top 25 team. You land that caliber of a class. They're pitiful. And it's hard to excuse that. And again, it'll be interesting to see if they can create any momentum heading into Pac-12 play. JY, you get excited for All-Star Weekend? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, hell no, I ain't excited for All-Star Weekend. I will say this really quick. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. Sabrina Ionescu is gonna beat Steph Curry in a 3-point shooting contest. I'm putting it right now. I've seen Sabrina shoot personally. She could shoot. They play a game in Oregon that I saw her once called Red Light, Green Light. Five spots, shoot the three until you miss two in a row. The girl shot for 35 minutes, and I walked out of the gym, and I think she was on spot number three. So I think she's going to win that overall. But really quick, think about this, Kevin. Ohio State fired Holtman today. Juwan Howard, I don't care what he says, he could be fired. If Cal doesn't get to the second weekend, he could be gone. And the Enfield, he could be gone. Kyle Neptune, Villanova, he could be gone. The number of high-profile jobs are going to be interesting. Who gets them? Lamont Paris has done a great job in South Carolina. Does Dusty May get a big promotion? Does Shaheen Holloway leave Seton Hall? There's going to be a lot of interesting things that happen in the offseason in college basketball.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it'll be interesting to see who returns, who goes, who transfers to the state of college basketball. Coach, we appreciate it. Caitlin Clark, by the way, she's making history tonight. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, and I figured why not give the people a little more Sports Grid. You know, we got to give you some picks. And this morning, the one and only Donnie Wrightside stepped up to the plate with an NBA player prop. Here's his favorite look on tonight's three-game slate.
I'm going to give you a couple numbers here, Ben. First, 16, 16, 16, and 19. That's the last four games here for Steph Curry firing from three-point range. How about the makes here, Ben? 11, 9, 7, and 9. Those are the makes for Steph Curry tonight. If you take a look, 5.5 is the number at the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 116 on his made three-point shots. He's knocking down six tonight. I'm taking that plus money down. Let's go, Steph Curry. Don't let me down.
DRS there with a little rally cry to the chef. I will say, for Steph, whose three-point prop is now on the move, this typically was 4.5, it is now up to 5.5. If you have him making 6-plus threes, you should be looking at his points prop, which is 29.5. 16-5 to the over of 29.5 when making 6 or more threes, as opposed to when he scores 30-plus, which has happened 22 times, it's 15-7, he makes 6-plus in those games. It's semantics. They typically go hand-in-hand. Ironically enough, during this little run here, 4 straight games of 7-plus made threes by Steph Curry, it was against the Utah Jazz on the road where he made 7 threes and only scored 25 points. The point still serves, though. If Steph is going to make 6, 7, 8 threes, 30 points is usually going to come. If he's going to continue to shoot with the volume that he has been these past couple of games, either side, it makes sense. The plus money on that 5.5 has been dwindling down for Steph Curry, who was coming off of a 40-point performance. The Warriors battling back to 500. The Clippers handed him a loss last night. The Warriors definitely want to keep momentum going in Utah tonight. I have an NBA player prop in that game, which we are going to get to. And Davis Maddock is also going to stop by and give us his same game parlay for that matchup. We're back in less than a minute.